You never knew Leanna as well as I did, Robert. You saw her beauty, but not the iron underneath.
Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to do the same with its second edition. Tune in each episode for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to George R.R. Martin, Fantasy Flight Games, Card Game DB, and you, our loyal and new listeners. Check us out at www.whitebookpodcast.com and contact us on Facebook and Twitter, or email us at contact@whitebookpodcast.com. This CC licensed music is Townfish by Spinozar.
Are we talking about carnal knowledge?
Biblical knowledge.
Sounds like we're talking about, like, Asha's lingerie or something.
Whoa. Hey-o.
That sounds like a very poor competitor to Victoria's Secret.
Just wants to pay the iron price.
Yeah, it actually goes into Victoria's Secret, steals their products, and brings them back to their store.
Yep. That's the kind of rating that I like to do.
Wow.
Fancy reads. All right. Hi, I'm Aaron.
I'm Will.
Still Tommy.
And I'm Patrick.
And this is the White Book.
What the hell? But who's Patrick?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. You just snuck right in here. Who is this?
I did. I'm Patrick. I'm on the Facebook page and the boards all the time, so you probably know me from there. I'm Red Viper 187 on the boards, and I was second at the War of the Five Kings, and that's about all I've done of note.
I know. You're second, the dude that Guzdal said sucks.
Yeah, that is also me. Famous of the infamous Scuzdell War of 2015.
Welcome aboard, buddy.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, we are just moving right along this week, which is always a first for us. I say always because somehow it deteriorates every week. But I want to throw out there a couple quick little announcements as we go. One is that this will be the final episode of 2015. As we had posted in the large Facebook group, we were debating about how much time to take off. So we are actually going to take both the week of Christmas and the week of New Year's off. So you'll see us again for the first episode of 2016 on Friday, the 8th of January. So be on the lookout that week.
Also, we have our meme contest going on our Facebook page. So head on over, give us a like, and vote for your favorite meme to win a prize.
Yeah, there's a lot of good entries in there. I think there were like 25 in the gallery, something like that.
Yeah, there's some real funny ones so far.
Yeah, so go check them out. Like them to vote on them. Voting runs up through Christmas itself. So you will still have ample time once you listen to this. All right.
We should also, by the time you read this, we're recording right before it goes up, but friend of the cast, erstwhile co-host Roy Rogers, has an article on whitebookpodcast.com about building a meta for all you guys. So please be sure to check that out as well.
Sweet. I like how we're starting to build up to some more content on the site. I'm pretty excited about the possibilities that affords both ourselves, listeners, readers, and the meta as a whole. And actually, you know, related to that, Patrick here is going to be one of our writers on the site. He's got a new article series he's kicking off pretty soon. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about your game plan for that?
Yeah, thanks. So the article series is called Taking the White. Thanks to Will for that name. That was pretty cool.
You're welcome.
It's like Taking the Black, but for the Kingsguard, because, you know, or the White Book. So the first article is pretty long. It's like pretty much all of the knowledge that I've accumulated about deck building jammed into one article. So it's pretty wild.
That sounds impressive. If you had to give me a word count, what would you estimate on that?
Well, I don't have to estimate. Let me pop open Word right here. I'm not even done yet. We're at a solid 1,676 words thus far.
Looking good.
So mostly what I'm hoping people are going to do with that one is just kind of like, if especially newer players, but veterans too, if you're ever just like stuck being like, man, how many characters do I play in second edition? You can just scroll down to that section and see what I think about it. So
nice. If you are a listener, and duh, if you're listening, we also cover many of these topics in episode 222. Be real interested to see how much we agree or disagree.
Yeah. That is indeed interesting. I'm going to have to re-listen to that episode and see how we align. I think we were pretty close, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
And then after I finished that first one, which is going to come out this Monday, I think I'm alternating off with Lauren Fitch of the Boston Meta, who's also very awesome, and excited to be doing that. So my articles, the next 8 of them, are going to be kind of a comprehensive analysis of each faction from my perspective and what they can do, what they bring to the table, cards you should include, cards you shouldn't, things that I think you guys have talked about on the podcast, but just so that we can have like a written record of them so people can find them quickly.
I've got a quick question then. What are you
sure
on left and right?
Oh, left and right. Man, me and left and right, we've got some history. I go back and forth on those guys. When the game first came out, I was like, man, these guys are garbage. I was like, I read JC Wama's like 28-page rant, and I was like nodding along. I was like, yup, if you play these, you're bad. But then I opened up Tyrell. I'm like, wow, I gotta play them. And then they were awesome, and the upside just kept happening. And even when it didn't, I was like, okay, it's like a 2-for-2, the military icon. I'm pretty fine with that. And then, Sam had them on the table when he beat me at Worlds, and I'm like, yep, I'm playing these guys now.
Hear that, Tommy? Hear that?
Can't beat them? Join them.
Yep.
So I've got one quick piece to throw in here during the news and announcements. Wanted to make sure that I plugged the second annual Windy City Winter Cup that will be happening on February 27th. It will kick off at noon at another Round Bar and Grill. It is the same place that we held it last year. And that is right. It is a bar. So you are buying drinks and drinking while you play the entire day. It is super fun. One of the best tournament experiences that I've ever had, and that's not just because I won it last year. The traveling cup with the engraved names of the winners will still be up for grabs as usual, and there will also be specially engraved beer mugs for the top 8, as well as tons of other prize support just like last year. It was the biggest tournament in Illinois last year, and we expect it's going to be quite a bit bigger this year, given that we have so many new players jumping in for 2.0. So if you need other details, I know that it's on the Facebook page, and feel free to reach out to the cast, and we can get you any other information you need. But definitely come out if you can, and if you need accommodations, directions, anything like that, we can certainly find them for you.
Hey,
I'm going to be there.
I will shill the shit out of that, but only if you subtitle it, moving on up.
I had one more thing to throw out there before we get away from this segment also. So once I finish with those 8 articles, I'm going to start kind of talking about some cool decks that I found in the meta. So for all you listeners out there, if you have some cool decks that you think I should look at, you can email them to me. I actually made an email address just for this article. Oh, it nice. Is takingthewhite@gmail.com. And so you can just, no spaces, just send me your deck list, and I will take a look at them and see what I think. And some of them might be in some articles someday.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. Will, I believe you have a PSA for us.
It's a brief PSA. Thankfully, I overruled Aaron and said that I was going to give this PSA rather than him because
I mean,
Yeah, I think it's good to moderate the way you speak, which it's hilarious to see an English teacher have difficulty with. But speaking of the way that you moderate how you speak, just a reminder to the Thrones community at large that, well, by and large, you're all great and have been great, and that's why we love this group. There's a lot of people of diverse backgrounds and places of residence, history, and viewpoints, and being able to converse with all of these different people about a shared interest and hobby, I think is pretty awesome. But of course, to do so, everyone needs to remain civil and remember that everyone isn't exactly the same as you. So remember to stick with a certain modicum of respect and understanding as you talk to other people. And, you know, just remember nobody here is any less than anyone else as a human being. Anyway, I think that's it for my PSA.
If any of you would like to see my original rant, which is much, much more fun, please do message me. I am the easiest person to find, as always.
And a little bit of more exciting announcement on our part. That's going to be some spoilers sent to us by FFG. Now, of course, one of them has actually already been spoiled in the massive leak earlier this year. And that one is Crown of Gold. But we have the actual English card text in front of us and everything now. So let's read that off just to make sure that everything still seems how we would expect. That is a 4-cost Targaryen attachment. It is loyal. It's an item. It's terminal. And attached character gains the king trait. Also, attached character gets -4 strength and is killed if its strength is 0. Oh. And it's unique, and it has a deck limit of 1.
I really hate the deck limit, but I like everything else about this.
It's the first card we've seen with the deck limit for the draw deck in second edition, right?
Yep.
I just really wish that the it along with the item trait also had the boon trait. that would have just tickled me in the right way, but
I like that it makes you a king.
Yeah, exactly. That is a really nice touch.
Yeah, what were you saying? Is there some sweet combo action with that, Tommy?
Oh, absolutely. The King's Hunting Party. Mm-hmm. Getting broken.
Whoo, boy.
Yeah, it's perfect. You just play the King's Hunting Party. You pop this thing on, like, Balon. He's useless. And now you got a 6-strength military intrigue. It's perfect.
Yep.
Yeah.
Obviously.
As much as Hunting Party. It was in quite a few winning decks, like quite a few winning Barra decks.
Yeah, but I mean, that's because, like, what else are you going to play in that slot?
You're down to that or the Wildling Horde, and because you're playing Fealty, you can't, so.
Very, very good points.
So the instant you have literally any other Barra character, bingo.
Of any kind of sizable strength.
You know what the best part of this conversation is? It's going to be the feedback where everyone goes, yeah. Just like left and right, huh, guys?
Yeah, guess what you can put on left and right and kill them? Crown of Gold.
If you're spending, like, sometimes people tears my left or right, whichever one doesn't get an entry icon. And
wait, so you're telling me you're playing left and right?
Oh, yeah. In my Lanny Terrell, the deck that won, it was totally there.
I'm giving you a hard time.
But no, someone, like, a few games, like, people teared either left or right, and I was like, fuck, okay, thanks. like, my Randall's just gonna be very safe. Okay.
You know, I hate to break the news to you guys, but you're not gonna be putting that on left and right. No attachments except weapons.
No attachments.
Oh, wow, left and
right. Oh, so they're good. Safe.
They're so good.
Can't even milk them.
Yeah.
Nope.
They're basically the perfect card.
Okay, so what is Crown of Gold actually hitting then that's worthwhile? Like,
Balon.
Yeah, I mean, it makes Balon, like, useless. It doesn't actually kill him, but...
Kills Theon.
It does neuter his ability. Theon, Asha,
Mel.
Arion, if you can catch her in play.
Arya. It'll be in marshalling, so you'll catch her in play. Tyrion?
Well, depending on who's marshalling first.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Tyrion?
Ooh, Tyrion, yeah.
I mean, I'd stick it on 5 coffers and just let them stand there and look pretty because they can't participate because Dany's there.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Catelyn.
You know what it's also really good for? Like, in a weird off way? You can play it on somebody and know that they're going to play Confiscation next turn, and that's a really, really good time to play...
Naval Superiority.
Yep.
Ooh.
That's pretty good.
That's an interesting...
Way to finish my sentence, buddy. Thank you.
Yep, I got you.
Seeing as how this is limit 1 per deck, I don't know that I would bank my game plan on that, but it's a nice touch.
I mean, you can do the same thing with, like, Milk and Seal, too, to a lesser extent, maybe, but yeah.
I mean, like, it's not 100% with, like, Milk and Seal, but you throw this on Balon, it's like, yeah, when are you not going to confiscate that immediately?
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know, it's probably a pretty easy auto-include as with that limit. I mean, why wouldn't you play it?
Forever.
Yeah, just drop it. Why not? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you can use Vice Dothrak and discard it from your hand to get rid of any attachment.
Just what I've always wanted to do.
You can exactly, right? Guilty. That's very
true.
Important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, any other interesting tidbits on that, or should we actually move on to the new card?
No, let's move on to the card people care about.
Yeah, here we go, the new one. And as per usual, the image for this is going to wind up getting posted the next day, so be on the lookout. This is, yet again, a Targ card. This is the unique Recaro. He is not loyal. 6 cost, military and power icons, and 4 strength, Blood Rider and Dothraki traits. And while you control another Blood Rider character, Recaro gains Intimidate. Also, the reaction, after a character is killed to satisfy claim during a challenge you initiated, Recaro gains 1 power.
That's going to be such an awesome power engine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it feels expensive, though, right?
I mean, I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
He's so out. That's 2 power a turn if you've got 2 claim. That's, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like pseudo-renown, and I think we've all noted that the renown's a little better than it was in first edition, because those characters tend to, not die at the flip of a plot nearly as often.
A crown of gold would kill him, though.
It sure would. You got to watch out in the mirror match.
He's also got really awesome art.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like a Dothraki gutting someone. It's pretty great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can build quite the fast power draw engine out of him and Drogo, or him and Storm of Swords.
Well, but you need draw. Targ needs some draw. Because if you're playing both of those guys, you're going to have a real stretch playing Dany, which is Targ's literally only draw right now.
And your ubiquitous Tears of Lys is going to wreck your face.
Yep.
You know what isn't? One nice little bonus, though, to offset a little bit of that. He doesn't have to be in the challenge. If he's getting knelt out by Melisandre or whatever, as long as you can win or initiate and win that military.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's at least part of a reason that, like, that whole original Smash Brothers thing could work. It hasn't really worked yet, but, like, we're getting closer.
I think,
a little bit more economy to make that work, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think it's mostly just the draw, because I feel like if Targ got like Meraxes or something less amazing but good, they would be like top of the world right now, because whenever I play Targ, I just feel like I'm just sitting there, my opponent's like drawing cards every turn, and I can play what I want to play, but they're playing like twice as much as I can play just because they have more cards in their hand. So,
well, I feel like relative to other houses, you can afford to play the Counting Coppers a lot less.
Yeah.
Out of Targ.
Well, yep. A lot of the point of them having less draw in Targ is that power icon kills. Help.
Yeah.
Kill.
Yeah.
Name the thing.
The Plaza, right?
Plaza Punishment thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the and plaza. I think that offsets their lack of draw a lot. I'd be a little wary of giving them that kind of repeatable card advantage via kill and easy repeatable draw.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they should, but if they did, they'd be amazing. They'd probably be, And I agree. I mean, if you can get the plaza going, you can sometimes kind of, you know, crawl your way back. And I feel like Targ is one of those things where, like, if you have the right Targ deck and you get just a little bit ahead, you can just make that gap so much wider very quickly.
It's hard to play from behind as Targ.
It's really hard to play from behind.
Hey, so something else I just noticed. He's not loyal.
He's not.
No, he's not.
Are we looking at a Lannister card, not a Targaryen card?
I mean, you know.
You'll have to see if the other Blood Riders are loyal or not.
Right. And, well, or Lannister or a Stark.
I could see Stark, especially with a little claim boosting.
Yeah. Greyjoy.
Yeah.
Fairly aggro.
The problem is
Rob turns all your characters, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, getting using.
There aren't a ton of good other Targ non-loyal cards. I mean, you got Jorah and.
The dragons are solid.
The dragons are solid bodies. So I guess if you're filling out your curve with it.
I like Illyrio. I really like Illyrio.
Oh, yeah.
He's good in Lannister.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing I play, so.
Well, that's true.
Not the only thing I play, but it's what
I play. It's all I've seen from you.
It's Aaron. The only thing you play competitively.
It's the only thing I play competitively, thus far in 2.0, yeah.
Because you're smart.
Thank you. All right, let's leave with a compliment on me before anyone counters it. Hi, we're going to play a game. We decided to look at the meta and what decks are good right now, and I thought an interesting way to do that would be start with a game. So I'm going to list the houses. Our three contestants, Will, Tommy, Patrick, are going to list the best agenda for each faction. I called it a house again, didn't I? And in addition, they're going to suggest whether they think that deck is overrated, underrated, or properly rated. So we're going to start with Baratheon. Will, do you think that deck is... what do you think Baratheon's best agenda is?
Baratheon's best agenda. That's a tough call. I think there is a case to be made for Banner of the Sun, but I'm going to put myself down as fealty.
Okay. Overrated, underrated, or properly rated?
As far as the community as a whole?
Yep. Or turn representation in general.
You know, I'm gonna go with, overrated.
Okay. Tommy?
I'm also gonna go fealty, but in terms of the perception, I think that outside of the cut, it's properly rated. Inside the cut, it's a little overrated.
Interesting. And Patrick?
Alright, well, we can't all say bear fealty, cause that, where's the fun in that? So, I'm gonna go on a different route here. I think that the best bear deck is, Banner of the Watch.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. Shout out to my man, Brian Clunan, who, has been playing that deck. He went undefeated in the Swiss of our tournament this Saturday and then got a Greyjoy matchup where they had like Balon and Seastone Chair out turn one. And it was like, oh, cool. But, yeah, I think that deck is really underrated and, it's really good. It basically just like wins the power challenges, draws cards at the Red Keep, and just like sits back on the wall and the chamber and the Iron Throne, snagging like a bunch of power really fast.
All right. Next house up, we have Greyjoy. Will?
Greyjoy. Boy. You know, I'm going to be the different one on this one. I really think that the R'hllor package brings a lot to the table for Greyjoy, so I'm going to go with Banner of the Stag.
Overrated, underrated, properly rated?
The particular one I listed, mm-hmm. I'm going to go with underrated.
Tommy?
I think it's really interesting that Will said that, because I'm currently messing around with the deck that I like a lot, that's Bera to Greyjoy. And obviously you still get the same benefits that he's talking about. It's just a little limited in not having Balon and such. But I think that if I had to sit down and make a Greyjoy deck to compete right now, it would probably be still a Greyjoy to Lannister, because you give them the money and you give them some draw and they're awesome. And I would probably also go the same way as well and say that they're underrated. I think Greyjoy in general, unless you're talking about the Greyjoy fealty that is being a little overrated right now. I think that the other builds are a bit underrated.
And Patrick?
I gotta stay with fealty. I mean, I played it at Worlds, did really well, I think it's still the best version of Greyjoy. I played around with the Lannister one too, but I don't know. I just feel like I got Balon and Euron stuck in my hand sometimes. Can't get them on the table, and that extra little bit of fealty really helps. So, and as for rating, I think it might be getting a little overrated now. People are kind of like freaking out about the Seastone Chair and that Greyjoy is like the end of the world. And it's like, I think it's still one of the best decks in the meta, but it's not apocalypse creating.
Interesting. So by now listeners have decided which one of you they think is brilliant and thinks just like them, which one do they think is an idiot, and someone's in the middle. So who's who? Next up will be Lannister, because we're going in alphabetical order, and G is before L. Will, you have a card, don't you?
This is tough. You know, I did really, really like how that one played out, and I did do pretty well with it, but I think I'm going to go actually with Stag. Essentially just like first edition Lannister, and I love that so much.
What I'm hearing is Will really likes Barrah.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
He just likes Neil.
Yes, that's really what it boils down to. I think the years have really borne that out. So as far as a rating there, overall Lannister, I'm going to go with about spot on, maybe a little over at the moment because it's so popular, or at least Aaron keeps telling me it's everywhere.
It maybe just got popular. Place. It was like nowhere. We'll get there.
So, there we go. That's Lannister.
Tomas?
I really do like the Lanny Targ deck. I think it's very competitive, and I think it's a little underplayed, but I have to go Lanny Wolf. When you have Treachery and Bran together, it's an unbelievable feeling in the meta right now, and I think the deck is probably, at this point, still even a little bit underrated.
And Patrick?
This is a close one for me, but I think I'm going to have to go with the Lanny Banner of the Rose, the one that you won Red Saturday with, and I think if you're in Aaron Glazer's living room, it's overrated, but everywhere else, it's about even.
So true. All right, Martell.
Ooh, Martell. I guess I'm first on all of them. Is that how this is going down?
We're going in the same order.
Okay. You know, I thought long and hard about this one, and then in the end, I figured, you know, the R'hllor package really brings a lot. but no, that's actually not going to be my answer on this one. As much as I wish it could be, I actually think it's going to be Lion on this. I've also really enjoyed the bounce deck that I had put together, and by far feels like the most control-oriented build that I've been able to put together. That's not, you know, just the straightforward like Barrah fealty Neil stuff with Gaston and things I do for love, treachery for cancels, Hota, this, that, and the other. So I think that's the way I'm gonna go. And I think overall Martell is underrated right now. Even though I think they've got a lot of kind of bummer cards, there are a few gems.
It's totally underrated because Beyond the Wall was wrong about them. Just pointing that out.
They do.
Tommy?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's boring, but I gotta say, it's Martell to the Lion. Arianne with the Hound is just
hilarious.
You feel like you've hit a home run when you get him out there and you're doing it. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
I gotta say it's underrated as well. Sorry about that.
I didn't even know that.
I will put a little caveat on this thing that I haven't tried Martell Banner of the Lion, which apparently is really good, so I have to give that a shot. But from what I've played, Martell Banner of the Rose, the one that thoroughly stomped me in the finals, is my favorite Martell deck. I mean, that thing, it's so elegant. You just do stuff and you just see, like, you see behind your opponent's eyes that they know what you're about to do. And there's just nothing to be done. You're just like triggering Sun Spear, bouncing in Knight of Flowers. Then they're like, oh, okay, I lose.
I just want to take a moment before we go on to shout out the Bastard Daughters, because they continue to overperform in every game.
They're so good.
So good.
All right.
I have to throw a rating on that one quick.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's about even. I think everybody, adequately freaked out about how good that deck was after Worlds. So
wins Worlds, people know.
Yeah.
That's a good trick to get people to know your deck.
Yep.
Night's Watch.
Oh boy, Night's Watch.
Here it comes.
Gosh.
He didn't know what house was coming next.
You know, again, I feel like Anil is a really strong option. I'm just going to get that out of the way.
Pick.
The state of the game right now, early in the field, we've seen it time and time again, that Anil in the smaller environments is really strong. You throw in the skew towards the larger single characters, and the Anil becomes more potent. Then you look at a house like Night's Watch, or a faction, rather, that wants to defend everything if you're going that wall route. Well, kneeling out anything that can bust through looks good. But, I'm actually going to say Lion in the end. The extra income, a little bit of stealth, kind of round out the icon spread. I think that's really solid. Plus bonus points if you want to just really deny your opponent and run both the Watch as Need and Treachery for any King's Roads they draw. Oh, and
you mean meager contribution?
Meager contribution, not the Watch as Need. Man. See, you can tell how often I actually play it.
That sounds like some nice choke. That'd be pretty pretty fun.
Yeah, it's kind of theoretical on my part, though I think Greg had put that deck together. So overall rating though, at the moment, it's kind of tough. I feel like, something on the more aggressive end is still underrated for them, whereas the wall stuff right now I feel is a little overrated, but as a whole, maybe that balances out and I would say even.
So I've really enjoyed playing some Night's Watch Fealty recently. I still don't think it's 100% there competitively, but, to go a little bit outside of the box, one that I've been tinkering with that I think probably deserves a second look and could probably get there pretty soon is the Night's Watch 2 Martell. I really like being able to use Confinement and Ariane, being able to defend and then jump in another defender and then potentially take away icons. It just really helps you in what you're trying to do.
All right.
And obviously, both of those are underrated because they're not good.
Patrick?
At least not on the competitive scene right now, you know? I think that they have the potential to get there, but they haven't proven themselves in tournaments yet. So there's no way to say that they're evenly rated or overrated.
Hey, man, it was just promised that a listener, whose name I'm not going to try and say, Habsjin, as I'm not going to try and say it, is going to start his own podcast to say how stupid we are for not liking Night's Watch. So let's get that going.
I'm not saying I don't like it. I was just saying how much fun I was having playing it.
How good it is.
Dominating tournaments yet.
Fair enough. Patrick?
This is a tough one for me because whenever I try to build a Night's Watch deck, I just whatever banner I'm in, I'm just like, man, it would be better if this was the main faction and I just cut all the loyal Night's Watch stuff. But if I'm actually sticking with Night's Watch, I think the Night's Watch Martell is really good. Kind of the one that Alex Hines had prepared for Red Saturday. Yeah, you're just you're playing solitaire, getting power for the wall, confining people all the time. It's pretty nice. Really? And I think it's still underrated. I think it's a good deck.
Fair enough. Stark?
Stark. As far as they go, my first thought actually is not going to be Neil. I think I lean towards Dragon. Give him a little more stand, a little more kill, and kind of push that military angle. So that's how I would go there, and overall, I would actually say Stark is probably underrated at the moment.
I'm definitely with Will that Stark is underrated at the moment. In terms of the Banner House, though, I think that Stark to Greyjoy is pretty awesome. When you're able to use your stealth characters, your Theons, your Ashas, and bang home a Winter's Coming, you just see your opponent's face melt, and it's awesome. So I think that's a really fun deck if you haven't tried playing it. If your opponents aren't ready for it, you're gonna do some serious damage, and you can usually go wide enough to get around the first couple of turns of the Baroneal lockdown. So give it a go. Probably still just a bit underrated.
All right, guys, confession time.
Uh-oh.
I have never played a game with Stark in second edition.
Wow, not even as a banner?
I had him as a banner. I played Aaron's Lanny Banner of the Wolf one time. But other than that, my Stark cards have been sitting in the box. And it was not intentional. I just realized this like a week ago. I was looking at my box. I'm like, whoa, what is that huge pile? Oh, it's all my Stark cards. So it's my mission now, as soon as I'm done with finals and this tournament in Chicago this weekend, I'm going to build some Stark. But from what I've seen going around, it looks like that Stark Tyrell is going to be pretty cool. So that's... I don't know if that's the best deck, but it looks really fun. And I think in a couple chapter packs, when we get all that like knight and lady shenanigans going on, Stark Tyrell is going to be where it's at.
I like Stark Tyrell. Next up, Targaryen.
That is one that I think I'm going to loop back around to fealty. I've really enjoyed the Targ fealty deck that I've had, and having that capability to go ahead and make Drakkaris zero cost is pretty rad. Oh, and I guess I should give them how they are overall rated, huh? I think Targaryen, I feel, is about even. People seem to feel it's a threat. It as we saw at Not Worlds, it's a solid counter to Baratheon fealty, and of course any time we're focused on these unique characters, Burn becomes really strong as a way to potentially remove stuff. Saves be damned. So I think it's about spot on.
So I'm going to save everybody from hearing me say the exact same thing as Will, because Targ fealty and just about correctly rated was going to be my answer. So I'll say if I had to play something else out of Targ, it would be Targ to Lannister and try to make that work, because as you and I mentioned earlier in the cast, Aaron, it's getting close. I think a little bit more economy, a little bit more draw, that deck's going to be mean.
I'm in a little bit of a bad place with Targ myself right now. We had kind of a bad breakup over the weekend. I played him in a tournament on Saturday, and I just felt like they really couldn't keep up with like big economy decks like Lannister and Tyrell. So I'm a little mad at Targaryen right now. But I think Targ fealty is probably the best way to go. Although Banner of the Rose, which is the one that I played, I think is also really solid. It just feels a little too high variance for me. I feel like there are games that I lose with the deck that I didn't really lose. Like, I didn't actually, like, do anything wrong. The deck just, like, wasn't good enough to work with me. So I'm going to say it's a little overrated right now.
Okay. Last house is Tyrell.
Tyrell. Gosh. With them as main house, you know, I have not really fiddled with them enough main house. I just recently threw together Tyrell fealty to try to push Queen of Thorns as hard as I could, and it's all right. So I think I'm going to go with the other deck I fiddled with more and go with Greyjoy, Kraken, that is, and say that, you know, with the two of those combined, you can push what is probably the rushiest deck in the format with their Tyrell Renown and Greyjoy Stealth. And overall, I think Tyrell's kind of underrated right now, especially as a main house. They make a really solid banner across the board, because I feel like it's every other house for what Patrick said so far. But overall, I still think they're a little underrated.
Well, damn you well. My wife has been playing almost exclusively Tyrell Fealty since the game came out, and she's been loving it, especially with the Pleasure Barge now, and it is very strong. And then for myself, when I want to play Tyrell as the main house, it's Tyrell Greyjoy. I agree, it is the best rush combination there is right now, and I've got nothing else. You said everything I was going to say, so fuck you.
Sweet.
I think I'm going to go with Tyrell Fealty on this one. I like Tyrell Fealty, which is good because it looks like I'm going to be playing it on Sunday. I put up poll for the internet to choose my deck for me for the tournament in Chicago this Sunday. And by a slim margin of 43-20, Tyrell Fealty is winning. So unless someone and their 23 friends go and make me play Night's Watch Fealty, I'm going to be playing Tyrell. So I'm okay with that. I like Tyrell. I think the Queen of Thorns, if you can actually like get her to go off a couple times, can give you some really huge economic advantages. And it's a really solid deck, and I think it's a little underrated right now.
All right. Thank you guys for that. Next up, I've been following the annals. So as of yesterday, we'll be looking at the annals. Not necessarily the statistics, but what agendas they're suggesting are best, or what agendas are being most played and what are most successful in the cut. So we'll begin with Barra. Barra is falling. It's seeing significantly less play. 50% of the Barra that is seeing play is Fealty, and insanely, 80% of the Barra Fealty is still making the cut. It's still making the cut at an absolutely insane rate. It's overperforming huge. It's not winning a lot anymore, but it is still, like, if you just want to make a cut, like, if your goal is to make a cut and have a shot at winning, Fealty is what to play.
Wow, Aaron, so does that go right in line with what I said, that I love it outside the cut and then not in the cut?
Tommy, you're a smart man. I should let
you I'm just throwing it out there. It's the only one I got right.
I did not send any of them these numbers before we did this, by the way.
And I purposely did not get on the annals to try and look and cheat beforehand either.
I've been out of the country, so I haven't had the opportunity. So
and I didn't even know this bar was happening, so I didn't look either.
All right, any other thoughts about Barra Fealty beyond that duh, it good?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most straightforward answers we've got.
Yeah. It's a profound statement.
So I do.
You can view on Card Game DB all of my thoughts on Barra Fealty. I've posted in many a thread on some very long rants about Barra Fealty. But
I mean, at this point, I do think it's about properly rated, though. Like, it's good.
Oh yeah, I think people calm down. Yeah. People were going nuts though for a while.
Made most of them quit the game.
Yeah.
In the hands of a good player, you're still gonna win with it. If you take it and you want to be that guy, you're still gonna win.
You know what the best part of Barra Fealty is? It's the Kaiser Killer. If you want to beat Kaiser, you just play Fealty. You can be a total noob and he folds. Alright, next up is Greyjoy. Greyjoy is, about half of all Greyjoy is Fealty, and a little less than half of that is in the cut. So, like, you're 50-50 if you play it, more or less, of making the cut. The only Greyjoy that's really overperforming is Lion. Beyond that, Greyjoy has played a lot, but not to great results. Any thoughts on Greyjoy?
I think Greyjoy is one of those things where, like, all the cards look really good, and it is good, but it looks easier to play than it actually is. So it kind of looks almost like a Barra deck that you could just like pick up off the street and be like, oh, okay, cool, I can play this. But there's a lot more nuance there than it appears at first glance. So I think it's tough to play sometimes.
I think in the Greyjoy deck building situation, you're 10 cards that aren't the point and click, everybody's playing these cards, your choices there matter so much more than most other decks.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Lannister. Now I got to try this Greyjoy Lion now. Everybody's going crazy about it. I got to make it.
It's really hard to make. Like,
it was good and sealed.
Yeah. It sealed. Yeah. It's absolutely not the easiest deck in the world to make. I've been fiddling with it and it's janky.
Okay.
Lannister. Lanny Rose is the best combination. It's played most of all Lannister decks, but it wins even more than it's played, like by a considerable amount. A lot of that's probably the Alvaro effect, though. Like, Alvaro played a lot of it and won a lot with it. So, like, he skewed the numbers a little bit, I'm sure. But even
I'd really be interested to see a date filter on that.
Yeah, there was like a solid like 3 weeks there where he just won like 25 tournaments in Spain. Just like
it was a little. Everyone's like, oh look, it's Arroyo again. So Alvaro, stop it! You're messing with our numbers. So it's played a lot, makes the cut more. We basically agree it's really good. So the next best Lannisters are the No Agenda and Fealty builds. Mm. They're not played often, but they overperform. And Targ has, for the past few weeks, been getting significantly better, which is nice, because we're going to totally take credit for that. Lenny Dragon, that is, not Targ itself.
Okay.
The Lenny Fealty seems like the easiest deck for a 1.0 player to pick up and go and win with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
no, Barrafield.
I understand where you're coming from with that, with the point-and-click soft control, but honestly, having the treachery and being able to prep and plan for a Varus, and you do that with a Cersei that's destroying your opponent's hand, you can play it like a 1.0 deck.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Happy to see the Targ rising, because I really like that deck. There's still some changes I've made from our podcast deck, but I think it's still a very, very good deck. All right. So Martell is broken into exactly three. Nothing else has made the cut, period. 50% of the Martell that's made the cut is Rose. It won Worlds, so people tried it. It's still really good. Something like 40% of Martell that's played is Rose, 50% is cut. The other 25 and 25 are Lion, which we said, and ready for the surprise?
Night's Watch. High five, Will.
Woo!
Yeah, Martell Watch is overperforming big time. 25% of the cut, but only 6% are playing it.
It's a really fun deck.
Hey, don't play Martell with anything else, because it still hasn't made the cut.
Huh. That's interesting. I didn't realize like, that nothing else was making the cut right now. That kind of sounds like a challenge, really.
Challenge down, people. Martell Lannister, it's a thing. Go.
No, Martell Lannister, we know. Martell Lannister's 25%. You got to do like Martell Stark or Martell Greyjoy and make the cut. That's the challenge.
No, get it over 50%.
Oh, okay.
Ah, there we go. Push it up where still we know it should be.
Yep.
Anyone else?
Martell's good. They're fun.
Fair enough.
Arianne into Benjen into Wildfire is the best way to win this game.
Until I treachery.
In plot? How'd you do that?
It's possible. Fealty. Calling the
oh, wait. Fealty won't work. I'd
not
have to
loyal.
Be, nope. I'd have to be main house. Have
no,
to be,
you could be playing Calling the Banners.
Yeah.
True. And you could be dumb and make me a player. Or
if I decide to make you first player.
I could be main house Tyrell and have Paxter out.
That is true. That'll do it.
Out there.
And then Calling the Banners.
Or I could have been main house Martell and played the long plan and had extra gold from that.
This is a lot of pieces that you guys need to stop my Arianne into Benjen Wildfire combo.
I'd prefer to just beat you normally. Let's move on. Night's Watch Fealty is played most by far, and it's freaking terrible. Like, it just doesn't make the cut for anything, but it's played constantly. While Night's Watch Wolf, the deck that Habes Jinn and Thrones Runner have been pushing, is overperforming at 26% played and 60% cut.
Now that Night's Watch Fealty number, how much do you think that that's skewed by new players that are trying to be Nedley?
I mean, I just think Night's Watch Fealty sucks, so I don't think very much.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that I feel like there's probably a lot of very green players that are playing that option just because they want to play Night's Watch, and they're skewing the statistics.
Okay.
It's possible. But, I mean, that doesn't affect how much it makes the cut, which is never...
Well, of course it does, because if a lot of people are playing it and a lot of people are not making the cut...
Yeah.
Right. But how many people actually made the cut to it with it? Do we have the numbers on that?
I didn't copy down every number, but not many.
Okay.
Not many.
But I mean, say that five people made the cut out of 200. I bet you 150 of those people were just, you know, new players playing it because they wanted to.
Yeah.
Not because they thought it was competitive.
I'm with you.
I mean, Night's Watch is totally what I gave to my friend when he was a new player. It was like, here, you should be able to figure out the game through this. All right. Yeah, that Wolf deck, though, is legit. Like, I'm coming around to it over even Barra and Martell.
Wow.
It's quite a state.
Give that a try. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, like, you have to know how to play it, and there's a lot of little tricks, but that Night's Watch Wolf is seriously pretty damn good.
Well, anything that gets Bran in it is good.
Yeah, it gets Bran, and Sansa is hilarious in it. All right, dark. Kraken is performing best, but that's sort of an old number. Like, Kraken was actually way up, and it's come back down to earth a little bit as people have taken to opening with Calm or Game of Thrones. Like, I think that number has severely fallen. And Rose and Lion are catching up fast at a little bit above expectations. The big surprise to me is Stark Fealty is really, really down because it's come in like second in a couple major tournaments.
It's just not very good. It's just not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Stark is almost there.
Their draw card is great if you're playing just Stark cards, though. I'll give it that.
It's a theme. I mean, is that maybe why we're seeing their box first? Because they're just not quite there.
I almost wonder, though, if they're going to get so much help out of that box, given that they're going to have repetitions of their main characters.
Maybe. I mean, they need one card. Like, once Ward comes out, Stark immediately shoots up, right?
Yeah, that card looks good.
It'll be a help.
Yeah, that card is stupid.
Hodor will be a help, too.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I can't really comment on Stark.
I do like Stark. I don't like Stark with Lion a ton, but I like it. I like Stark with Rose a lot. That extra bit of stand is really nice.
It's also good with the stealth, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, people open Calm.
Everything's good with stealth, though, so.
People open Calm and you just get a little sad. You're just like, oh.
Well, you gotta expect that they're gonna do that, though, you know?
Yeah, but, like, you don't have any long game.
Yeah. I mean, there's, like, getting your sneak attack pinned with Game of Thrones just makes you cry.
True.
I speak being on the other end of that more often than.
Yeah. I'm clearly. A Game of Thrones.
Look elsewhere for an opener with that deck into a couple of the plots that don't see a lot of play, and it'll make the deck a lot better for you.
Oh, hey.
There's two plots that, spoiler alert, there's two plots that should go into your Wolf Greyjoy that don't see a lot of play. Look for them, and I promise it'll perform better for you.
The two military challenge one?
No.
Oh, I don't know then.
That's a pretty obvious one.
What a perfect choice against Calm.
Isn't it great? You're just like, yeah, take your two military. Blow me. Yeah, I don't know.
Don't try and figure it out now.
Tell our listeners. We're an educational podcast.
Yeah, post your guesses.
No, tell them. Don't be sure.
We've got 2 weeks off after this. We got to build up some participation from the audience.
No, we got to have something for them to do.
Well, we've got all these articles coming, and I'm going to talk mad shit everywhere, yo.
Well, Tommy can tell me, and I'll put them in the Stark article.
Yeah.
In 7 weeks.
There we go.
Yeah. Hey, in two weeks.
We could have just done a high five from Top Gun. Me and you just did it, Patrick.
Yep. I got you through the webcam. I just slapped it right now.
I think you much more likely did the really awkward hug from Rocky 3, the beach hug.
Oh, you don't hear that one often. I like that.
Yeah. That's
the Apollo Rocky jumping through the waves. I like where you're going with that. Yep. That's good.
That's what just happened.
No, we're having a different Kenny Loggins song though, and we're playing volleyball against Iceman and Slatter. Okay. And we are high five.
Fair enough. All right. it's not Last House because I need to get that out of my head because Tyrell exists now. Targaryen Fealty is played a lot and really still overperforming. While Lion is played a lot and underperforms.
Mm.
Targ to Tyrell is doing really well, but I wonder how much of that is that a bunch of top players are playing a lot of it.
Yeah.
Playing Targ to Tyrell?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like all the rage now, Will. Yeah.
I missed a memo. That's what I get for poking around on the back end of websites so much lately.
Yeah. The Swedish folk play it. Britt Fitch from Boston's playing it. Buzz built it, so I guess Buzz is playing it. It's around. It's making the rounds. But it's all good people. Like,
I don't think that it's even just good people in general. I think that within it being good people, I think it's good people that were Magic players.
Oh,
because
hey.
It has a lot of those same feels to it.
Huh, how so?
If there are certain Magic archetypes, and I'm probably not as up on my Magic as I should be, but there are a lot of similarities in terms of combination when it comes to that deck.
Fair enough. So that deck is actually, come to think of it, I just said it wasn't posted. It's actually on whitebookpodcast.com under winning deck lists. Britt posted his.
Hey-o.
So is that a Fitch that wins?
No, that's a Fitch that loses that wins. It's very confusing.
But that has won.
Britt is a Fitch that drinks.
And wins.
Well, everyone has to have a skill.
So,
just gotta give the guy his due, man.
So why do we think Targ Lion is underperforming?
I think it's because people want to fit in all the expensive stuff, and you just, yep. you can't do it. Like, they want to play Dany, they want to play Drogo, they want to play Jaime, Tyrion, Illyrio, and they just can't play any of them, and then they lose because they have too many expensive things. But,
absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Pick one of those game plans and push it hard, not all three of them.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Cut Drogo and Jaime from that deck almost entirely, or run like a one and one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's two routes that you can go, right? You go the Drogo and Jaime route and you try to make it work, or you go the other way and you keep your Dany.
Yep, you just go Dany and Illyrio and Tyrion and just stand in Dany all the time. You can even run a Sirio's training in that one.
I'm gonna
Sirio's training on Tyrion is fucking awesome.
It is.
Yep. Good. And on Dany.
There you go.
Some good targets for
it. Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Hey, I'm going to blame Stroms a little bit for Targ Lion underperforming too. Because when he took New York at the launch tournament with that deck got really popular for a little while. And it's not an easy play.
Yeah, for sure. The mini curve version is tough to do right.
Yeah.
Everybody tried to jump on it like it was a thing that anyone could do.
Yeah, Dave's really good. I mean, only the best of the best could ever beat him in the cut. Shade Throne.
Some New York shade going on.
New York shade. Dave and I are absolutely good friends, but we are so rivals. All right, Terrell?
It was like that thing that you posted, Glazer, of you and your red stormtrooper suit.
Yeah, basically. okay, Terrell, you'll never guess Terrell's best deck. It's so weird.
Greyjoy.
Nope.
Fealty.
Nope.
Well, that covers everything we went with.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Greyjoy's Sun is 25% of the field, but 50% of their cut.
Huh.
Sorry, Terrell's Sun. I think I just said Greyjoy because I'm sleepy. But Terrell's Sun is 25% of the field and 50% of the cut.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Terrell's Sun.
I've never even looked at it. I have no idea
what
either.
It is.
Never
That I thought you were like faking us out and you were gonna say Banner of the Lion, but no. You actually
Lion is in second. Lion overperforms a fair bit, a fair amount, and Wolf does pretty well for itself too, although it's played a lot less. But Sun is the king. So
interesting.
Next deck building episode, Terrell Sun, yo.
Pretty solid low curve and the Arion stuff, right? So
yeah, I guess.
Whoever made that deck, send it to takingthewhite@gmail.com. And I'll look at it.
Yeah, let us know who the hell is playing that, because no one's talking about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, we just win tournaments. I don't know if it wins tournaments. It makes the cut a lot. Like, making the cut is a significantly better predictor of what's consistently good than winning, right?
I mean, with a large enough data set,
yeah.
Generally speaking, that's what they say, right? When you're in a competitive game, if you're consistently making top eights, it's more telling than the two times that you win a tournament the entire season.
Yeah, agreed.
Yep.
All right. Overrepresented, single most overrepresented house is Greyjoy, which is played a ton and just doesn't make the cut anywhere near enough for it to be worth it. Most underrepresented, but in the cut, still Lannister. Lannister's taken a huge jump up in being played since in the past like month, but beyond that, like, it's still severely underplayed and overperforming. The king of all decks right now is Targaryen, which is played an absolute ton and yet somehow still overrepresented in the cut and winning like a beast.
Wow.
And,
well, because it goes toe-to-toe with Fealty from Barra.
Yeah, and Barra is no longer being played, but it's still doing fine.
It had such an early lead that everyone else has to catch up.
Yeah, basically.
Well, I'll stand by what I said, though. If you're a good player and you show up and you play it, you're going to win. I mean,
no, you're going to make
not the whole tournament, but you're going to win enough to get in the cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
For banners, Fealty is huge. Fealty is a ridiculous amount of the field. The other banners that we see a lot of are Lion and Rose. Otherwise, you're not seeing that many banners.
What a twist.
So, but
yeah, if you had to bet on what two banners were going to be the highest, I mean, come on. Who's going to be those two?
I like the Stark banner a lot.
I think I know what banner Will likes.
Which one's that?
I think if we were taking the annals of Will's life, the banner of the stag would be the most represented.
Fair enough. So by the numbers, Barra still wins the most, but recently it's been Targ. And again, Lannister remains closing fast, although I think that's just the podcast and our three wins plus Alphara.
I think I can hear the grin on Aaron's face every time he talks about how good Lannister is.
Because I said it, like, the second I looked at the Corset cards, and everyone kind of, whatever, we're clearly playing Greyjoy and Barra. And then, like, 3 months later, they're like, oh, wait, forget it. Barra's not that good. It's Targ and Greyjoy. And, like, Lannister just consistently wins when it's actually
keeps
played.
Keeps hovering right yeah. there.
It's not as flashy, maybe, as it was in first edition. But turns out income still really important.
I mean, turns out Tywin is a really good card. Like, if you can play Tywin, you have a deck that is going to be doing well. Like, that guy will just provide you money and strength all day. So. Yeah.
Sometimes people kneel him and act like they've accomplished something, and then I have 7 or 8 gold anyway. I'm like, yeah. No, I still have enough board presence, but that didn't matter, right?
Yep. And then you just casually slide the seal of the hand underneath.
Didn't see that coming, did ya?
That's definitely the best play when somebody just, like, filthy accusation someone, and you just, like, slide the seal of the hand right under there.
Sometimes I slide it on there and like they have Stannis out and I don't even bother standing them. I let them use their filthy and I'm like, you can kneel my chud that I stood. I'll stand him when I'm ready.
That's good. All right. Pro plays.
Yep. All right. The decks that win, there are 5 decks that seem to be really good for the meta right now. I don't know, and I promised this earlier, I don't know if you were a Seth Lowe type player and were only playing to win the tournament, that you could really justify taking anything but one of these 5 decks. Ready?
Sure.
Yep.
Barra fealty.
Yeah. Shocker.
Sounds like
Targaryen fealty. Targaryen Rose. Lannister Rose. And the if you're Dark Nodge and want to play something good but not exactly what everyone else is playing, our deck, Lannister Dragon.
All right. I'm glad to hear that deck squeaking in.
It's recently, the numbers have just been so much better. If you really want to win, I don't know how you justify not playing one of those decks. You can win with something else. There's plenty of other good decks that can win, that do win. But by the numbers, by consistency, those 5 are cut above, I think. Any disagreements or things we think are missed?
I think those are pretty fair statements, and I also think that we're saying we're taking 2 weeks off, right?
Yeah.
Anybody that wins the tournament within the next 2 weeks with a deck other than the ones that Aaron just listed, send in to us, let us know, and we will definitely make a mention and possibly send you a prize if you're cool.
Whoa.
Cool.
Bold statement.
From my own personal swag.
Okay. I was gonna check.
It's so gonna be a picture of Tommy's drunk.
Or yep, that's what I do, Aaron. God damn it. It's out of the bag now.
Why do you keep it in a bag? You've never explained that.
Because I don't have enough room anywhere else.
All right. 3 decks that are very represented, so you need to be ready for them. If your deck loses to either of these 3 or just like can't compete with them, you're gonna lose the tournament. These are the contenders that aren't quite there, really. Greyjoy Fealty, Night's Watch Wolf, and Martell Rose.
Yep.
In agreement still?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're basing these off of numbers, it's hard to easily naysay.
Yeah, I guess. You could still discuss. You could be like, that deck is stupid. I don't have to be ready for that. I just
smoke
it.
And I haven't heard anything yet that's just like, you're a fucking idiot.
Oh.
The numbers backing it up, plus the fact that when you really think about it, I mean, they can certainly all play.
Yeah.
It's cool to see that Targ is still doing so well, even though I'm horrible with it. I guess the problem was me, guys.
Yeah.
I should go make up with Targ.
You should go make up with Scudzil, because he was clearly right about you.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I'm just a scrub, so they can't play Targ, so I should go apologize to him.
All right. The sleepers. These 4 decks, I think, can win any given tournament. They are the ones I would be least surprised if they end up just randomly, like, showing up and taking shit. Tyrell's Son, because I don't know where that came from, so I'm assuming it's good.
I'm shot in the dark.
I'm gonna spend the next month making 15 terrible Tyrell's Son decks and being like, why don't they work? Shouts to Tommy. I put Stark Kraken, because if you hit the meta right and they're not running those counters,
blow up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Greyjoy Lion, because it performs well. Stop running Fealty, start running Lion. The numbers say that that's the move. Follow them. Mm-hmm. And Martell Lion. Aren't you proud of me? There's no Lanny Wolf on that list, because you know I wanted it to be there.
I'm proud of you for having the Martell Lion. I think that deck has a lot going for it.
It's a great deck. It gets blowouts and it can play the long game. I don't play Martell mostly because like not having draw makes me cry.
Yeah,
it creates so much card advantage on the offensive though.
So I built a deck and I'm not going to say what deck it is yet because I actually want to test it before I shit talk. Because I actually do that, believe it or not. Like I do test all these ideas. I don't just make things up usually, unless like we're reviewing cards that haven't been played yet. But I built a Martell deck that runs Quentin, literally just two Quentin because I need cards. And like he's still shitty. Don't get me wrong, but like,
wait, what?
Who are we talking about?
Quentin
Martell. Yeah. Thrown in the first edition
Jesus
agenda.
Christ. Nope, Doran Martell.
Getting vengeful up here.
Sorry, I'm sleepy. I took that. Sorry, Doran Martell.
Doran.
I wish it was Quentin. But like, I threw in Doran just for the draw.
Wow, you were desperate.
But like, it works. Like, it's not ideal, but you have enough intrigue strength and you win enough power challenges that like, it's fairly consistently an extra card a turn, which is really all I want. Like,
okay, Aaron, you obviously are never eligible for our contests within the cast, but if you win a tournament in the next 2 weeks with Doran Martell in your deck, then I will still send you a prize.
And it will still be a picture of his junk.
But I think
possibly autographed.
In 2 weeks on Wednesday, I've got a game night, and I will take a Doran Martell deck. And how about if I own the shit out of that game night?
I don't really know what that qualifies as.
It means beating like Dave and Dan with Quentin in my deck.
Then that's pretty much still a
tournament. Doran.
So that's still Doran.
I'm gonna keep calling him Quentin.
It's still Doran.
Because I played 1.0, and Doran was terrible in 1.0, and Quentin was a god.
So. Right. So using Quentin as your house card does not make this eligible.
No.
Yeah, I feel like that would make it ineligible. It's probably a little illegal.
Yeah.
I'll stick one in, and I'm just gonna try and attach him as a character agenda when he dies. It's gonna be
Just a 3-cost bicon with stealth, pretty casual. Just
I don't even need the character. I'll
pretty run completely in second.
Eventual stand draw, cool.
Dude, I will be completely blank until he's an agenda. I do not need the character part of him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like if they made that card as a 6-cost that was blank, I would play it.
I would quit the game. I hate Quentin so much. If he comes back, I'm gonna be upset.
Oh. Yep, we are so done with this segment. Any final thoughts on the meta? Any agreements, disagreements, things we forgot?
I should play Stark. That's what I hear.
So you get to play Stark at your next thing. I'm gonna play Doran Martell deck. Will's gonna play something that doesn't have Barra in it.
Tyrell. I guess I better fiddle around with Tyrell.
And Tommy's gonna make the Smash Brothers work.
Oh, jeez. I'll try and figure it out, man. I will be working on it.
We've got some steep challenges here, guys.
Oh, man. I really wanted to build Tyrell's son. Now I'm stuck on Doran. Alright, I'll build both. It'll be fine. I build a lot of decks.
That's true.
Props and slops!
Props and slops.
Don't let everyone get so excited here about this. Jeez, guys.
Props and slops! Enthusiasm.
Much better.
I mean, aren't there like 3 people that listen to this segment? Isn't that how?
Yeah.
You're one. You're on.
And I'm one of them, and I'm on the cast. So.
Whatever. Roy's not on this week. Roy's listening. Hi, Roy.
Oh, I should compliment Roy. Roy, props to Roy, because Roy always compliments me whenever I'm brought up and he's on the cast. So Roy's awesome. So props to Roy.
Roy is the nicest human being I know, except maybe Seth Booth. So, but one of the two.
Maybe there's 3 people that listen in the UK because those guys are awesome. The banter behind the throne guys. You prop them all the time, right, Glazer?
I do. I love them.
And they mention the fact that you mention them all the time. And you know why that's great? Is they got a little listener-submitted question from our friends from Canada asking who the best podcast was. And they, of course, ranked themselves number one. But who was number two?
We were.
Of course we were.
I was really hoping for 2 Guys, 1 Throne.
What? No. Hey, and we don't mention that anymore because 2 Guys, 1 Deck is my new article. Come on, guy.
Yeah, plus 2 Guys, 1 Throne moved on a few years ago at this point, so, but oh well.
So yeah, props to those guys for getting it right.
Hey, you know what we, wow, there goes that thought. I really am tired, guys. I got a prop.
Okay.
I want to prop Dixit. You guys ever play Dixit?
I have not. I hear it's really fun, though.
It's super fun. Each person says you get like a handful of cards that have like beautiful pictures on them, fairly abstract pictures.
Right.
You say a word like hope or paradox or whatever, and everyone drops a card with the closest to things, and your job is for like one person to guess that it's yours, but everyone else to guess something else. It's pretty great.
Hmm.
You can get points for like who guesses your cards and who doesn't. Yeah, it's really good. Really, really fun. Really simple. I played it with Dan Struthal and his wife Lily, so props to them too.
Nice.
Cool. I'm going to say props to my girlfriend for letting me record this podcast, even though she just got back from New York.
Nice. Wow.
You in New York. Sloppy yeah. You.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to piggyback that one and say props to my wife, too, because, I mean, I literally got back from out of the country 3 hours ago, and my wife let me still jump on and record. So
out of
props
the country,
to her.
No less. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, while we're here, I'll prop my wife, too.
You sound so sad about it.
She doesn't listen anymore since Daryl's not on. Cool. My wife
yeah,
quit
slops
with Daryl.
To Daryl. Get your ass on the podcast, Daryl. People miss you.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife, you asshole.
We'll have to see if we
that can. That might have just been enough to draw him out there, please.
I'll reach out to him, see what I can do. Well, speaking of what
it'll be
added,
the Christmas special.
the belated Christmas special.
Wishes.
While we're at it, I should definitely prop Kristen, who's letting me record this, even though she just got home from work moments ago.
Hi, Kristen. The only one in the room. Hey, I want to randomly prop The Big Lebowski.
Great movie.
Good movie.
It's still good.
Holds up. Yeah,
really.
Speaking of movies, anybody else going tomorrow?
Saturday.
I can't do opening days.
Saturday. We're talking about The Force Awakens. If you are if you are not a proper geek and stumbled into this podcast some other way.
Whoa, no spoilers, guys. Come on. I'm not seeing this until tomorrow at 7.
That's when I'm seeing it. High five. Oh, we just did a Top Gun high five.
Man, Aaron, you must be feeling really left out right now. Nobody wants the Top Gun high five.
I'm so okay without the Top Gun high five. I just keep imagining them docking. Let's move on.
So yeah, anyway, it feels a little surreal while we're briefly on the Star Wars topic. Like, I did not expect for a long time to ever see another Star Wars movie. Obviously, I was too young to catch the original series in the theaters, just the special editions. So I was pretty pumped when the prequels came out, and we all know how that turned out.
You were pumped that they were coming out.
Yes. Yeah.
Circa 1999 in May, very excited.
Oh, yeah.
Circa July, not excited.
Yeah, so I kind of figured that sort of killed the whole movie thing for a while, but it's really sinking in. Like, tomorrow I get to see a brand new one, and from, like, tentative early non-spoiler reviews, like, people are rating this in the, you know, top couple Star Wars films. So
the fact that legitimate like movie critics are not trashing it has me very excited.
Yeah. I mean, I said for a while, like even before he got picked up for Star Wars stuff, that when Abrams did the Trek reboot stuff, like those were not good IMO because they weren't Trek movies. Like it was obvious from watching those, like
yeah,
he would be great at Star Wars. He's not good at Star Trek.
I didn't think that the second one was. I thought the first one was pretty damn good.
It was better than the second one, I thought.
It had a very original series TV show feel to me.
You're bad-mouthing something that Benedict Cumberbatch is in, so we have to stop now.
Benedict Cumberbatch is poorly utilized.
No. You stop. Just stop.
Okay, so when you take Michelangelo and you make him do a paint-by-number... You can't back a paint-by-number book producer?
No, you just say thank you for Michelangelo and move on.
Well,
thank you, Benedict.
We have reached an impasse, and that impasse leads us to the...
No. I've got to say Will was right about something.
I've got another prop.
Jesus, then we are obviously not even close to them.
No.
No, we're not yet. We have at least two more props.
Hey, what's
the next page of the white book is obviously what I was saying.
Yeah, next page of the white
book. Hey, what's that chat thing you made, Will? This is not it, but what's that chat thing you made?
Discord?
Yeah, the Discord chat, which everyone should join, by the way. If you need to know how, we'll toss a link up in the comments.
Yeah, plus it's on the white book website. There's a widget on the right-hand side, shows you who all is online. If you click the like join button, it takes you straight to their web app and connects you to the server and everything.
So my picture on that is me standing next to a sign that says what Tommy was trying to set us up for.
Oh,
nice.
All right, the prop is to Will for being completely 100% right about Casterly Rock. It changes the dynamic of games that Lannister is struggling with and really, really helps them. Casterly Rock is an excellent card. I was completely wrong. Will was 100% right. I'm running it times two in basically every Lannister deck right now except the Stark one, because, you know, Stark sort of kills the intrigue.
For everyone listening at home, Aaron just Top Gun high-fived Will.
Yeah, not that I'm complaining about Aaron telling me how right I am, but I am curious what changed your perspective.
I played with it a lot, and while I still don't, I like the intrigue. The extra intrigue is nice. Lannister could really use a bit of extra speed. It's part of why I like that Rose build so much, because it adds that extra speed. It's really hard for opponents to defend four challenges every turn, so you're getting that extra power that would be renowned through that unopposed.
Yeah, just the fact that it's an extra challenge, any challenge, is pretty huge.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should take that soundbite of Aaron saying you were right and make it your ringtone.
That's a good idea.
Every time he texts.
Yeah. You were right, Will.
The new transition in between segments every podcast.
You were right, better. Will. You were right, Will.
Yeah. Well, hey, that prop of mine that I wanted to get to is more pop culture-y stuff. That's going to be to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I finished up with the mid-season finale at this point last week, and holy moly, like, they are not content to just sit on a status quo. Some big stuff happened both in this episode and the penultimate. I guess I can still say that even when it's just a mid-season break, right?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Regardless, it's a wild ride over there just from a, like, plot perspective, but also, they are, you know, working more and more to bring the, like, super aspect of the MCU to the small screen, which I'm glad to see them actually embracing more and more. So we're going to have our own team of super S.H.I.E.L.D. agents to kick off next year for the second half.
Yeah, I'm excited for it to come onto Netflix, where I watch all of my shows so I can see it.
Did you watch the first two seasons on there?
I did, yeah. I watched the first two, and I just can't be bothered to, like, watch things on TV, so.
I agree.
I mean, that's all right. I just wanted to see if you agreed. Like, it starts.
Oh no, it's awesome.
Terrible, but it really picks up.
Yeah, I really like it. I really like the second season. I thought it was a really good season. Edward James Olmos was in it. He was awesome.
Oh my goodness, he's always fantastic. Like the character actors that they've gotten in here, like Bill Paxton, Edward James
Olmos. Yeah.
This season has Powers Booth in it. Like,
oh, nice.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's a really good show.
Has everyone finished Jessica Jones yet?
Oh yeah.
No, we got sidetracked.
Give me a solid one day.
Arrow and Flash.
Without spoiling anything, the twin sister character nearly ruins the show for me.
The who?
The twin sister character.
Twin sister?
There's a twin sister that lives in Jessica's or I guess maybe building.
Sure.
And
yeah.
She nearly ruins the show for me. She is the most unbelievable, hateful, like,
yeah, she's pretty.
She's the Jar Jar Binks of the fucking show, and like
she,
it would be one of my favorite shows ever, but. Yeah, I hate her.
Stop yeah, but I mean, her. Like, she epitomizes the bad neighbor, though. Like, you can just, like, you can really feel for Jessica.
Yeah, she doesn't exist. Like, she's just so over the top and stupid. And mind you, it's a show with fucking mind control, and I'm like, that's fine. This character is so out there that it breaks my suspension of disbelief when I'm going with mind control.
Yeah, but David Tennant is in it, so...
David Tennant, much like Benedict Cumberbatch, makes up for an awful lot.
I just need them to both be in the same thing.
They are. They are absolutely both in the same thing.
Which thing? And why haven't I watched it yet?
Your wet dream. Your wet dreams, Will.
Oh, that definitely took us into the danger zone.
Something, and a close another white book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Is a spoken word danger zone.
mean, I think getting second place is just as good as winning, really, guys. I mean, let's be honest here.
Wait, who invited Seth Lowe on the
podcast again? Oh, shit. I don't like that at all.
I think I was invited to join Seth Lowe's second place club. If I get a little bit meaner, I think this is invitation.
Second place Seth.
You know, that sounds like another great t-shirt idea. Just could say second place club on it.
That's a pretty great t-shirt. I like it. I would buy that.
I'll buy it.